that was very, very nearly going to be the whole thing. However, I'd like to take you now to a heavy, humid, hot day in Italy. You're on a train heading to Pompeii to visit the archaeological dig. The train's rocking. The train is packed with people. Not even standing room. It's so packed. Janet and I are on that train, and we had our fully laden backpacks with us. And I knew this was very early on our trip overseas through Europe, and I knew that if we got separated and she had to get that pack on her back, she needed to learn how to do it. So as we were approaching the station in Pompeii, I stood there, I got my pack on my back, and I stood there and I watched her and I tried to motion to her how to swing her pack. You know, you sort of get the pack and you sort of get your first arm in and you flick it up on your back. I tried to give her that groove, and of course the train's shaking around and there's people everywhere, and she was struggling. And I was standing there doing nothing. Now, of course, I wasn't doing nothing deliberately. Well, I was doing nothing deliberately. Rightly or wrongly, I stood there and did nothing, deliberately. In the end, a lovely Italian man looked at me, looked at her struggle, and picked up her pack and put it on her back. To which I thought, great. Now, I'm glad she's not here today, because that's been going, that situation has been going on for 20 years. We still talk about the fact that you're an imbecile. Why didn't you just help me? I was trying to help by standing there. In all my brilliant male logic, or not. I tried to be good to Jan by doing nothing. How many of you, you might just have a quick survey, how many people of you see this letter from the president? Puts me off straight away whenever I read that, I might add, but that's irrelevant. Grace Community International weekly update from the president. Hand up high, how many people see it and read it? Yeah, it's not a great number. Fair enough. This is the one he wrote a week ago, and it's entitled, What is Hell? A little off topic. But there's a couple of quotes that he talks about. This is Joe DeCotch, and he says, I enjoy some one-line quips, and he quotes a quote from C.S. Lewis, and he says, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell, choose it. Without that choice, that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. And those who seek find, and those who knock, it is opened. And another bloke, they've got the pictures of these guys like in 1930 black and white, sort of his C.S. Lewis, quite a pump. He's a friendly looking face. Then they've got this bloke called G.K. Chesterton, and he's an angry looking man. And he makes this remark. Hell is God's great compliment to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human personality. Hell? A compliment? Yes, because God is saying to us, you are significant. I take you seriously. Choose to reject me. Choose hell if you will. I will let you go because I love you and I won't force my will on you. So imagine having a God that is that good. No matter what we choose, he will do two things. He will continue to love us unconditionally. And he will not force his will on us. And if we demand to be left alone, he says, fair enough, and he'll honour our demand. And the same hand, he's so good, He will never rob you of your free will that he gave you at the start. He'll never take away your right to choose. In Psalms 145, verses 8 to 9, and again in verses 14 to 19, I'm just going to read this to you. It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, and he's slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made." The title of today's sermon is "The Lord is good to all." And the Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. And in verse 19 he says, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and he saves them. So it's quite easy to see or believe that during weeks like this that are full of misery and horrible, destructive, life-changing circumstance, it's easy to perceive that God's not doing anything at all. And suddenly I'm back to the train on the way to Pompeii. And as I stand there doing nothing at all, I'm trying to do something. And I've been bagged for it ever since. And maybe I just get a snippet of how God might feel when these things occur and he stands there and does nothing at all. Just like I was standing there doing nothing at all. That's the perception. What's the reality? The reality is God is always good. So we struggle between our perceptions and the reality all the time, don't we, as humans? We perceive that God's standing there doing no good at all, and the reality is he continues to be good, because that's what he says. Overarching everything, he continues to be good, regardless of the waves underneath, even when we're overtaken by sadness and grief. Every day, please. God lets us choose how we'll be. Will we look to him? Or maybe will we look the other way? Verse 14 again, it said, "The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all those who are bowed down." In good times and bad times, please choose to call on him. Our dear friend Rob is in very, very good hands. Please let God continue to love you. The Eagles, one of my favourite bands of all time, sung a song called Desperado. And the last lines of that song says, you've got to let somebody love you. You've got to let somebody love you. Oh, you've got to let somebody love you. Before it's too late.